Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back into the podcast, Dodging Through the Ravine. It is your host, Young Stud, accompanied today, and my co-host, and Jacob. Jake, we have made it to Wednesday night. The weekend is on the horizon. How's it going?
It's going all right. Another series of Dodger baseball has concluded. The Twins were a little matchup for us. It was a fun series, I'm gonna say. And on to the next.
The Dodgers completed their road trip in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the Dodgers always usually visit Target Field in the very early beginning of the season. Again, this time, the first road trip in May. Weather isn't too great, but it actually held up pretty decently this week with the Dodgers and Twins. So let's dive right into it. Dodgers and Twins from Target Field. The Dodgers would win this series. It was a series win for the Dodgers after dropping the series to the Cubbies in Chicago. So the Dodgers getting right back on track, coming out of the series 10-5. Pretty good record, I'd say, after 15 games. First place in the National League West, pretty comfortably already, even though it is only 15 games in the season. There's 146 games to go, but they're playing pretty good baseball.
Pretty good baseball indeed. The Yankees and the Dodgers, the first two teams to reach 10 wins. Like you said, 10 and 5, 15 games in. That's pretty much where you want to be if you're the Dodgers. And as we go into the next series with the Padres, you can only hope to see that's the continued streak of just dominance.
Yeah, should be a fun little series with the Padres. They're coming off of series win against the Cubbies. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. But Monday night, a 4-2 victory for the Dodgers over the Twins. And it was a Shohei Ohtani show. Shohei Ohtani in that game extended his on-base streak to five, or not on-base streak, his extra base hit streak to five games in a row with an extra base hit. In fact, he had three that day. On Monday, three extra base hits, including a home run and two doubles. So Ohtani was red hot. Of course, the next night he wouldn't get a hit or an extra base hit, but the show goes on. Three for five on Monday night, home run, two doubles. James Paxton did get the start. And in two starts from James Paxton, he's been pretty good. So Ohtani swinging the stick pretty well. And James Paxton quietly doing his job at the number five spot.
Yeah, James Paxton in that five hole has come out to be pretty useful for the Dodgers. It comes out there 5-6 innings of shutout baseball. I believe he went 7 innings. Correct me if I'm
Six
wrong.
innings.
6 innings. Okay. So yeah, 6 innings, that's pretty much what you want out of your fifth guy starter. Guys like Blake Snell, other starting pitchers in the league, they can barely get to five, and their pitch count is too high. So, seeing that from James Paxton, especially when our left-handed throwers were pretty injured right now, just on the weak side. That's good to see.
Yeah, the Dodgers, we talked about it coming into the season. They always have one reclamation project, in the starting rotation, at the end of the rotation, Syndergaard, Tyler Anderson, just to go back to the last couple of years. James Paxton. Who's that?
Andrew Heaney as well.
Heaney, yeah, Heaney was a guy in 22. James Paxton is that guy this year, and so far, so good. We'll see if he keeps it up, but so far so good. Really haven't had anything to complain about with James Paxton out of the number five spot in the rotation. Six innings, you're going to take that every day of the week if you're getting that out of James Paxton. And like we mentioned last podcast, he could be a little sneaky link in the bullpen once guys get back, right? So keep this up. He could go to the bullpen because the bullpen is going to need some work. Because there are also guys injured down in the bullpen, guys who are not performing well that are currently in the bullpen. So this team is going to get some reconfiguration, and James Paxton could play a role one way or another down later in the season. But off to a good start this season. And speaking of pitchers, so we've had this discussion, off pod about the slew of pitching injuries, and it's a hot discussion in the game of baseball currently about what's going on with the pitchers and why everybody's getting injured. the easiest thing to say, oh, it's the pitch clock. And you're one of those guys that are saying it's the pitch clock. I am not one of those guys. So do you want to tell me right now why it is the pitch clock, or are you going to go a different route?
Sorry, 1 second.
For sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so the pitcher injuries, definitely a epidemic right now. For me, I'll go first, I guess. For me, I don't think it is the pitch clock. Now, I think the pitch clock does play a role in what is going on, but I don't think it is the sole epidemic of why pitchers are getting injured, going on the IL list. I understand to throw a baseball very, you know, very hard at 96 miles an hour every 15 seconds or so. That is a lot on the arm. Pitching in general is not, I wouldn't say pitching in general is a natural thing to do repeatedly. So you're going to get a lot of injuries. You know, I get it. Pitchers need time to take a breather. But with that being said, I don't think we're getting a bunch of injuries because of the pitch clock. I think it more so has to do with velocity. I've seen guys, pitchers themselves, have chimed in talking about, oh, well, it's the spider attack. We're missing the spider attack. We have to throw the ball harder to get more spin on the ball because analytics are saying so. There's a lot of stuff going on. And for me, I'm not going to be the one to blame the pitch clock because I am an advocate for the pitch clock. I think the pitch clock is a wonder for the game of baseball. It's one of the few things Rob has done well in his tenure as commissioner. I'm not saying I can't live without the pitch clock because obviously I can, but I think the pitch clock has been good. So, Jacob, if you are here.
Yes.
So, I just went along and pretty much gave my explanation, but I basically told you off pod. So,
yeah.
Want to chime in on your thoughts?
Oh, of course, yeah. Sorry about that little distraction right now. I just had a family member come speak to me real quick. So, spider tack and velo, I definitely understand where that can come into as a factor. And like you said, you know, I'm kind of against the pitch clock. You know, I think, you know, the pitchers up there should really have more than 15, 20 seconds to gather the composure and deliver it. You know, the effects of throwing a baseball, it is I believe the word is aerodynamic, or like an aerobiroic motion. So just the effort of throwing a baseball itself, it is a workout. If you and I were to go get a baseball and throw it against the wall as hard as we can, we would feel it in our arm, we would feel it in our shoulder, because we're not professional athletes. Now these guys, they have the best training, they have the best medical, you know, advantages they can get. You know, they're trained to throw, you know, 95 plus for consecutive innings at time. You know, when you add in the continuous stress of the pitch clock, you know, okay, I'm throwing breaking ball, or, you know, I'm throwing something with a sweeper, you know, that change on the elbow every 15 seconds, it's having a big effect. And now you can say, oh, you know, it's not the pitch clock, you know, it's the spider tack and velo. True. Also true. You go back to like 2021 and 2022, the amount of elbow injuries are like triple as they are compared to right now. Like right now, there are like triple the amount of elbow injuries than there were in like 2021 and 2022 combined. So spider tack and sweat, it definitely does play a factor. I know Trevor Bauer had talked about that a lot. It's kind of why he got blacklisted, IMO. So maybe if you could extend the pitch clock a little, and, you know, and I know the whole spinny stuff, you know, the whole thing was adding rotations per minute on the ball, or like rotations per second. So there's just, you know, spider tack and velo, do they play a factor? Yes, they definitely do. I just think that the pitch clock is the main variable.
Sure. And like I said, I think it's kind of the perfect storm, right? It's easy to run the pitch clock and run to the pitch clock, but it's the perfect storm. Of course, the spider tack got cracked down on a couple of years back, and that was a big story when it came out. And we saw a lot of pitchers go really good, go really bad, because they lost their secret ingredient, if you will, on the baseball. So, you never want to see pitchers get injured. I think we're going to be in for a renaissance of pitching here in the next couple of years. And I also think we're heading for a CBA lockout again. I think it's kind of like the iceberg in the Titanic. It's just like inevitable. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. I think it's in a couple of years the contract expires. So we're going to be in a lockout, I think, in a couple of years. So enjoy the baseball while you can, because who knows how long that may take with the players and the owners fighting over a bunch of stuff like this. So, yeah, pitchers getting injured, hopefully. And, of course, we know as Dodger fans, I mean, we have a ton of guys get injured in our pitching staff. I mean, it is what it is. It's part of the game. It is just part of the game. And it's going to continue to happen. Pitch clock run out, pitch or no pitch clock, it'll happen. But I will say, like, for people that are against the pitch clock, do you remember Pedro Baez on the mound and how long he took?
It was about, like, 2.5 minutes for him to throw one pitch?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he would literally take a walk around the ballpark between pitches. I mean, the guy was just – it was bad. Let's just call it what it was. He would take an average of, like, 45 seconds per pitch. It was insane. Like, that's why I'm like, you know, I'm actually happy for the pitch clock, because we don't have guys like Pedro Baez, because there would still be guys like Pedro Baez today. And it's just like, we don't need that. Now we get, like, 3 pitches in 45 seconds or even more. So that's why I like the pitch clock. And it's going to be here to stay.
Yeah. Pitch clock is definitely going to stay. It's bringing in more viewers for MLB. And that's what they wanted with it. So
whenever you think you hit the pitch clock, just think of Pedro Baez. That's all I got to say. So 4-2 win for the Dodgers on Monday. They would go for the series win on Tuesday, and they would get that off of the back of Tyler Glasnow when he threw a 7-inning 14K masterpiece by Tyler Glasnow. 7 innings pitched, 14 strikeouts for Tyler Glasnow. His career high in strikeouts, might I add. Did you say it would be the Cy Young this year for the Dodgers or in general?
I did. Glasnow was my pick for the Cy Young runner-up, or like Cy Young pick.
Yeah, so obviously we knew Tyler Glasnow. We knew who he was. Maybe some fans didn't really know about him, but we definitely knew who he was. And I knew Tyler Glasnow was an elite pitcher. He was one of my favorites going back to his Pittsburgh days. He was really good in Tampa. Of course, the old knack on Tyler was, oh, well, he gets injured. Well, so far, so good. Doesn't show any signs of injuries at all. He is out there and he is just shoving every single game on 14 Ks. And how many outs is that? Is that 21 outs or 18 outs? I think it's 21 outs. 14 Ks of his 21 outs were strikeouts. That's just ridiculous.
He was one strikeout away from striking out 5 innings of batters. Put it like that. Out of the 7 innings he pitched, he was one batter away from getting 5 innings of those, just all strikeouts. Absolutely mad.
Yeah, he is a madman for sure. And he is really fun to watch, right? You see pitchers. Some pitchers are not fun to watch. Marcus Stroman being one of them. I watch Marcus Stroman. I don't have much fun watching Marcus Stroman pitch. He's all over the place. But Tyler Glasnow is one of those guys that is just super fun to pitch, super fun to watch pitch, because he is a pitcher and he's a strike thrower. So have nothing but great things to say about Tyler Glasnow. And at this point, it's not even a question whether he's the ace of the Dodger staff, because it's going to take a lot for him to lose that mark, because quite frankly, he is the number one guy for the Dodgers right now in Los Angeles. So good stuff out of Tyler Glasnow. And James Altman, we saw James Altman heat up in this Minnesota series. James Altman, we talked about him coming into the series, how he was one of the guys that was at the bottom of the lineup, not hitting. But he got a couple of home runs this series. And hopefully James Altman's bat can get going.
Yeah, you know, Altman last season, I believe he had like a 2020 season or like a 30-20 almost. I think he was pretty close to 30 home runs. You know, his bat, you know, 6-9 in that spot, you know, when he's alive and he's thriving, you know, that 6-9 spot is able to just produce off him. So, you know, once Altman's bat, you know, it gets going and he's there, This is, it's just another, you know, elite guy in that lineup.
Yeah, I don't think James Outman is going to be a 280 hitter, 270 hitter even in his career. I don't think he's that type of player, but probably 260, maybe he flirts with 270, you know, as a high season high. But as long as he cuts down on the Ks and he continues to hit the way he's been hitting this series, I have no problem with James Outman being a fine center fielder for the Dodgers, even though he's not an everyday center fielder. And is that a problem? Like, there's still guys that are struggling on this team. Kike Hernandez hitting below the Mendoza line. Chris Taylor is 1 for 1,000. Like, is it because these guys are not playing every day that they're struggling so much? You think that's a factor?
Yeah, of course. You know, Chris Taylor not being a starter, you know, I feel like it definitely has, you know, why he only has one hit. That's a factor, of course. You know, just that consistency, being able to, you know, work with what you did the previous game. You know, obviously he doesn't have that ability. He just kind of lost it a couple seasons ago, that starting spot. And, you know, it's very concerning, you know, Chris Taylor and Kike, because these are guys who have done well in the postseason for us. You know, regular season, they're there, they're not. So we just, you know, whenever he's in there, he just really needs to, like, pop himself. He really needs to, like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it definitely does have a factor as well. I think that they are struggling because they don't play every day. They're only in there for the matchups. And, of course, they're in there for the lefties on the mound. And when these guys are righties, they're not hitting the lefties. So that is a problem for the Dodgers. And, again, We're so long from October, it's just hard to kind of play like, well, you know, if this is in October, but if this is, like, happening in October, end of the season, like, this team is not going to go to the World Series or even win a World Series. Like, you're not going to come close if this is how the lineup is performing. Like, we need a 1 through 9, and this is what we talked about before we came into the season. Like, we need a 1 through 9 every single day type of team out there. And you have guys slot in here and there, come off the bench or whatever, but like alternating based on matchups, I don't mess with that. And I do wonder how many teams actually do that, have like two different lineups for any given matchups. I do wonder if the Dodgers are the only one.
I don't think the Dodgers are the only one. It's definitely, you know, matchups that certain teams do want. You know, like the Braves picking up Chris Sale, trading for him. Giants trading for Robbie Ray, who eventually be ready, I believe, next season, later down the line this season. So, you know, certain teams have picked up certain lefties to go against certain lefties in the league. I think we can all guess who.
Yeah, so I just have my questions. I have my questions about whether or not this Dodger team is good enough to win the World Series. We obviously know the talent at the top end. We know that. It's just the back end. Those guys, you know, you can't hide guys in baseball. You can hide them in basketball, maybe football, hockey. I don't know. You still need four lines out there. But baseball, you can hide nobody. Everybody's going to come up to bat, and they got to perform, right? They're going to come into the game. They got to pitch. You can hide nobody. So the Dodgers – as a whole, are going to need to pick it up if they want to be a great team at the end of the season. Right now, April, you know, you're going to win your share of games, you know, facing the Twins, right? So they would win the series on Tuesday. And Connor Brogdon did come into that game as well. And they traded for him a few days ago. Connor Brogdon, do you happen to know much about Connor Brogdon?
I do not know.
Well, Connor Brogdon was a pitcher from the Phillies, and the Dodgers traded for him a couple of days ago. Brogdon was one of the worst pitchers last year for the Phillies in baseball, and he was one of the worst pitchers to begin this season for the Phillies, and so they let go of him. And his first outing on Tuesday night, first two batters, two home run balls, and that was his biggest problem. He just gives up home run ball after home run ball. And the first two guys he faced were two absolute jack jobs. So I'm not sure why the Dodgers do this with glorifying reclamation trash projects, Connor Brogdon being one of them. He also has my number, which I don't like that. So, yeah, I suspect we'll see Brogdon again this upcoming series. And close your eyes because you're going to get to know him.
Kind of sounds like another Lance Lynn pickup, huh?
He's not as big as Lance Lynn, though.
In the sense of giving up home runs and jack shots?
Yeah, just this time from the bullpen.
So. Oh, he's a reliever. Okay. Yeah, so if you're trading for Connor Brogdon and you're dropping Dinos and Lamet, I think there's some issues there.
Yeah, I'm not sure why the Dodgers are managing the bullpen the way they are, but they're doing it. So we'll see what happens from here, but they would win the series. And so Wednesday would be the finale of this series, a matinee getaway day game. And Bob Miller took the mound for the Dodgers, going for the sweep. And this game was an interesting one, not very high scoring. None of these games were very high scoring, except Tuesday, I guess. But a 3-2 loss to the Twins on Wednesday. Tough game. Bob Miller, yet again, struggled in this one. Only went 4 innings, had 70 pitches. He could have gone 5 innings. I get it. He was struggling, but he could have gone 5 innings. Instead, Dave Roberts, to begin the 5th inning, goes to Alex Vesia, and the first pitch he throws, home run ball, and that would be the difference.
You've had your issues with Alex Vesia in the past. How are you feeling about him right now?
I mean, quite frankly, I can't really stand him.
Do you wish we still had Dylan Flora?
Dylan Flora was like 4 years ago, but... we change him for? Did we?
Yeah, we had traded Dylan Floro to the Marlins for Alex Vesia.
Huh. Well, I mean, if that actually, I mean,
that's the trade. That's how we got Vesia.
Yeah. Well, just a bad trade, and I called this since like the first time we saw Vesia. Like people were so in love with Alex Vesia. Because you get lucky strikeouts, and he'd be like super energetic when he got a strikeout, and so everybody like jumped on the bandwagon, like, yeah, he's so good. I was never a believer. I never jumped on that wagon. I never trusted him when he came into the game when we first saw him. Last year, he just blew up in our face, and this year he's still bad. And I see on like Twitter, like everyone's catching on to the fact that Alex Vesia is not a good pitcher. But I called this from like a very long time ago, so I've never been on the Alex Vesia train, and. He's just not good. Hopefully, I mean, if he's still here by the end of the season, this team has problems. Let me just say that. We'll see how this goes. But his home run to Edward Julian, he had 2 home runs on the game on Wednesday. Small leadoff guy for the Twins. And, yeah, he would kill the Dodgers in this series. Bob Miller, 4 innings, got roughed up yet again. I'm not going to take too much away. We'll see how he does in his next start on should be Monday or Tuesday of next week at home. I think he likes pitching at home, so I expect him to do better then. And the Dodgers would have a chance in this game. Ohtani did get gunned down at that play in the 7th inning. Took a perfect relay from the Twins, Correa, with the amazing arm that we know that he has. And the Dodgers would lose in this game. So you take anything away from this game,
I know, just Bobby Miller needs to have it, man. You know, these are waste starts. If he's not having it, then, you know, there's definitely an issue with that because you don't have aces who don't do well on the road. An ace, a stud, performs at home and performs at away games. So, you know, Bobby Miller, you know, take a step back, chill, talk with your girl, talk with your coaches, just chill, zen out. And like you said, that Carlos Correa throw, we have known him. He is known to have that powerful cannon of an arm, and he showed it off right there. You know, Shohei Ohtani, probably one of the fastest runners on this team, and Correa just showed him that, hey, you know, I'm still here.
Yeah, Shohei is definitely one of the fastest runners. I don't know who the fastest runner is on the Dodger team now that you say that. Is it Shohei?
Gavin Lux, maybe?
No, it's got to be Shohei. I think it's Shohei.
It probably is Shohei, honestly. I wouldn't say it's a – well, Shohei is a pitcher, but I wouldn't say any pitchers would, like – yeah.
He's definitely the fastest runner, for sure. So, Tony, I mean, he does it all, right? But good play from Correa, and that would be the difference. And I do want to note in this game, in the ninth inning, Chris Taylor would get – he would pinch it for James Outman. And that was a thing that just didn't really make sense. And this is a thing that the Dodgers have done for a while now, if you will, with the nonsensical pinch hitting. Can you possibly explain it to me as to why they pinch hit in these spots that really don't make sense?
I think Roberts, like, something with, like, the outfield and the way they're adjusted for it. You know, the – because we've seen it before where Austin Barnes just came in to pinch hit in the past, and that just didn't make no sense. And they were, I think they said they were relying on like his slap single base hits. So, no, I think they could just be going off like a high prediction to where it's not just like, oh, this is what's going to happen. Like, we want him to do this. And then it's those pinch hit situations just really never work out. So, I don't understand them.
You know, I know what I need now that I'm like, talking about it, I need somebody to make a compilation of just Dave Roberts pinch hitting X players in just big spots that don't make any sense. Like, I really need to see a compilation of that going back to when he first came in with the Dodgers in 2016 to now. Somebody please make a compilation of that, because I need to see that. I need to see that. So the one that sticks out to me that of recent memory that I remember, we were at the game against the Padres, but I think you just mentioned it. He pinched it Austin Barnes for Cody Bellinger. That one sticks out to me.
We were there for that one, yeah. That one was just like, you got a former MVP batting and pinch hit him for .91 Austin Barnes.
I mean, just like, I get it. Cody obviously struggled, but in the postseason, he was a monster, and he did pretty good the first game, and even that game, I think he was all right. But regardless, just even talking about that, pinch hit Barnes for Bellinger, that just sounds hilarious and in a playoff game. So, yeah, pinch hitting the 1-for-26 Chris Taylor, who has one hit and has struck out in half of his at-bats, for James Altman, who actually started hitting good in this series. Nope, yanks him. And, of course, Chris Taylor would strike out, and the Dodgers would go on to lose the game. So I think I said last pod or a couple pods ago that, you know, I'm going to go ease on Roberts. But that one was just unacceptable. Like, that's just unacceptable. And that is why the Dodgers do not win World Series championships every year.
It's definitely more of a managerial thing than the skill player-wise, you could say.
Yeah, because they're not being put in the position, the best position, to win. So I'm not sure what other Dodger podcast is going to call that out, but I sure am here on Dodging Through the Ravine. So a series win nonetheless against the Twinkies of Minnesota. They will come home now for a 9-game homestand, the longest of the season for the Dodgers. So home cooking here early on in the season. 9 games. They're going to welcome in the Padres first. The Nationals would come in after, and then the Mets will follow them up to end the homestand. But first up, the Padres. We saw them in Korea. Now we're going to see them at a more human time at Dodger Stadium. The Padres, 7-8 on the year. They're an up-and-down team. The Padres are just – they're a really streaky team. What are you looking forward to in this series?
You know, there's always talk of a Dodger-Padre rivalry. It's been that way, you know, pretty much ever since Machado signed with them, ever since they got Tatis, Yu Darvish. So I really just want the Dodgers to spank them. You know, traded for Dylan Cease, called up a couple young prospects. Like, let's just give it to them. You know, they're the Padres. You know, they want to be the little brother to us. They want to, you know, this Kershaw, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. You know, let's just give it to them this series. You know, just no mercy.
Yeah, so the Dodger and Padre game is always pretty, pretty fun. Pretty, how do I say it? Entertaining, I guess you could say. Pretty entertaining when they meet up, and so yeah, should be a good one at Dodger Stadium. Sunday Night Baseball again this weekend for the Dodgers and the Padres. 4 o'clock start on Sunday, but first Friday night it'll be Michael King against Yamamoto, making his second start at Dodger Stadium. Gonna be fun to see him again. Matt Waldron against Gavin Stone on Saturday night. Matt Waldron, the knuckleballer from the Pods. And Yu Darvish will go on Sunday against James Paxton, who's off to a good start for the Dodgers. So, should be a good matchup. And hopefully the Dodgers come away with a series win.
Yeah, series win versus the Padres. You know, it's all you want out of every series. You know, the starting rotation, you know, you want to see them go at least five innings, you know, six. Solid outings, no injuries, and just, you know, play a competitive baseball.
Yeah, so with a 9-game homestand, what are you looking for record-wise?
6-3.
Just when you need series, 2 out of 3.
I'm sorry?
You just want to win 2 out of 3 every series? That's what you're looking for?
Yeah, you know, lose one game in the Padres, one to the Mets and one to the or Nationals and then the Mets. No, it's completely fine with me. 6-3.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, 6-3 is definitely pretty reasonable, I would say. I think the Dodgers could definitely do that. If they do that, what are they at? 16-8. That's pretty good, right? So
16-8, that's what they'd be at.
Yeah. So that would be great. I think 7-2 is possible as well, but we'll see. 6-3 for sure. I'm looking forward to it. Dodgers and Padres from Chavez Ravine. Anything else you want to add before we move on to Between the Lines?
Between the Lines, let's get it.
Alrighty. First question. What's one thing you hope to do in your near future?
Oh, man. I want to go, if it could be like a thing of adventure and just like hobby-wise, I want to go skydiving and I want to go jet skiing. You know, last summer, I'd wanted to go jet skiing. I didn't get around to it. And, you know, I know there's rental places all along the coast. There's places for it. So I want to get on a jet ski and I want to let loose on the waves. Or if I can, I want to go skydiving.
Yeah, that's a little bit on my league, personally.
Yeah, I know you're, when it comes to those extreme things, you know, it's a little more distant for you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just like, it's pretty crazy how, like, people don't pass out when they just fall from the sky. I don't understand that's even possible.
It is crazy, because when you think about it, you're paying to jump out of a perfectly fine airplane. I'm going to be paying someone and indulging myself into an event where I could potentially die, but I'm also jumping out of a perfectly okay airplane. So, yeah, it's, you know, I hope I don't pass out if and when I do it.
For sure. I mean, that should be fun for you. For me, you know, it's something special, but I just want to travel. I haven't left California since, like, I think it's been 3 years. So, yeah, it's been a while since I left the state of California. I last went to Vegas in Thanksgiving weekend of 2021. So, even if it's going to Vegas again, whatever. But I just want to get out of California, travel, get a fresh start. Just take a break. So, I want to travel here in the near future. Next question. What do you want to... I can't read my writing. I apologize. Yeah. it's like a hybrid of like what is it called? What's the special writing? Handwriting and like not handwriting.
Cursive?
Yeah, cursive. Yeah, it's kinda hard to read. What do you want to achieve this year?
this year, I want to personally and physically get myself in shape. I want to look good. I want to feel good. You know, I'm a big boy. I want to lose some of this fat, you know, more of the fat that I've been losing. And I really want to physically be the best self of myself that I have been in my past 21 years of existence. Like 2024, like, I want to look good physically and I want to get my body in shape. And, you know, I've been striving on that. It's just, it's hard sometimes, you know, you get the munchies for food and it's like, if you don't have anything healthy in your house, it's like, oh man, like, so yeah, just physical health.
Yeah. I'll probably tell you right there. I was, not in good shape a couple of years back. And then one day I said, you know what, enough is enough. And I got myself in shape and that was kind of cool. I'm in a lot better shape now than I was a couple of years ago. And, you know, I feel good about it, but I'm still not quite where I want to be yet. So, yeah, definitely just go hard at it. And, it's just about discipline. It really is discipline. Like you mentioned, if you got munchies or whatever in your house, it's like super addictive or whatever to go get it, but you got to turn your mind. And so, yeah, let's get it summer 2024. And finally, what's a highlight from last week, last month, or last year?
And highlight. Man, I got to say it was the day I made $10,000 in like 2 days. So I messed around a little stock market, stock options, yada, yada. Got very lucky on a call. And like in 2 days, there was like, you know, very good amount of profit right there. So I was able to do that, you know, buy some Dodger tickets for the fam, you know, went out to Arizona last year with my dad. You know, I just was able to use that experience and just like really have fun with my family with it. You know, you make money, you spend money, you enjoy the experiences. You know, money is not the value of yourself. If you were to look at yourself in the mirror and you were to take off layer, 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 and the last layer on yourself that you have is money, then you are absolutely nothing. And that is a fact.
Yeah, well said there. For me, I guess it was last week. Last week, I talked about it briefly, but I had 500 subs. And I'm already up to like 509. So channel's kind of booming right now. Hopefully this continues. You know, baseball season just got started and all that. So yeah, just continue the content creation as I'm doing right now and go for bigger and better things. But hitting 500 subs is really cool. And next up is 1,000. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, I mean, probably not this year, but who knows? Hopefully, who knows? About 1,000 subs in the near future for sure. So 500 subs last week was a really cool milestone for me to reach. But with that being said, we will talk to you guys again on Sunday nights at the finale of the Dodgers and the Padres series. With that being said, thank you guys for listening in. As always, giving us 40 minutes of your time. Be sure to follow the podcast, share the podcast, and review the podcast. Give us 5 stars. And of course, as always, go Dodgers.
Thank you to everybody for watching. All new, all returning viewers. We appreciate the support. I'm sorry. We appreciate the support. Like my host said, 5-star it, like it, share it, do all that good stuff for us. We really appreciate it. Your support truly does mean the best. And lastly, like always, we always do it on Dodging Through the Ravine. Have a safe one. Have a healthy one wherever you are. And go Dodgers.